What's up, headbangers? This is Max Cavalera, and you're watching Interview Under Fire. Let's go.
We're gonna talk about that tour in a second, and if everyone, because we're gonna publish this out live for everyone to listen to, and I do want to say, Max, to kick things off, happy 2023. I know, and everyone who's listening, I'm gonna welcome you guys back to a new edition of Interview Under Fire. If I haven't done the introduction already, as always, this is your host in Sunny here, and of course the underground icon, extreme metal trailblazer, a third world warrior, the leader of a diverse and dedicated tribe. Say that five times fast. Max Cavalera, man. I mean, I'm Max, always an honor to having the Cavalera name here on IUF. I know we spoke 3 years ago. We had Igor last year, or I think the year before that, for Go Ahead and Die. Like Cavalera, it's like a household name in the world of metalheads. And I do want to thank you so much for returning today to IUF. Hard to believe it's already been 3 years since we last spoke. I'm going to talk about it during the pre-interview, but here we are. How are you? I know a lot has happened since 2020, man.
How's life in
2023? Somehow we aged 3 years, you know, and,
right,
and,
yeah,
and here
yeah.
we are.
First of all, happy metal new year to you too. Let's have a kick-ass 2023. Better than 2020 for sure. Fuck 2020.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, yeah, man, things are good. I'm happy to be talking to you again. I'm always happy to be talking metal. You know me, it's like, you know, shooting the shit, talking metal is one of my favorite pastimes, man. It's fun. I've done that since I was a kid, and it never gets old. But yeah, we are ready to hit the road. We actually did some stuff last year.
Yeah,
we went to Australia and we went to Japan. Yep,
that's right.
And those are pretty sweet. Those are awesome. They were like they were big festivals, so it was kind of like cool to get back a little bit on a festival, you know, thing that we haven't really done in a while. And They're big, man. Australia, they love their Soulfly there. You know, they went nuts. They went totally nuts, and we had a cool show. We did like, I think, four festivals and two headline shows. The headline shows were sold out to like a minute. They're like, you know, 1500 capacity club, and
it's really cool thing about Australia because all the cities are on the coast, right? So you're actually pretty much going around the entire continent.
Yeah,
from one time, season. That's pretty crazy.
This time we didn't do Perth. Perth is the only one that you go up.
Yeah,
we end up not doing. We stay in Sydney, Melbourne, and one more. I forgot.
Adelaide.
Probably. Yeah, but it was so cool, man. It was a cool festival. Killer band Deftones was there. Gojira was there. Lacuna Coil, Ginger. So yeah, it was cool playing and having all these guys from bands on the side of the stage watching you too. You know, like all the Ginger guys and Lacuna Coil and Deftones and Gojira guys are next on the side of the stage. And to me, that's always been badass when that happens. It makes you, it propels you to play better by force. You like, there's like a pressure.
Yeah,
like
you kind of have to meet them here, right?
Right. Your peers are watching you. So two things, you either fuck up bad or you elevate. Both things have happened to me. I rarely fucked up. One time when Metallica was watching us, we're all drunk. That was back in Sepultura days. I think I announced Black Sabbath twice. Like, you know, we play Symptom of the Universe, and I play two other tracks, and I like kick in again on Symptom of the Universe. My brother's like, "You moron, we already played that song," you know, and was like, "It was a
let's play it again."
Yeah, play it again. It's a fucking Symphony of the Universe. What the fuck?
Yeah, who cares? It's a great fucking song.
You know, but that was a royal fuck up with the Metallica. So I survived a royal fuck up with the Metallica guys watching. What doesn't get any worse than that? So it can only go up from here. You know, it doesn't go more down. But no, it was cool. We played great, man. It was a great show, and it was cool seeing all those guys and hanging out with them. And last show I got to jam with the Deftones on Head Up. I think that's on YouTube somewhere. It was fun. It was cool. It's cool. They're like one of those bands that no matter how popular or big they get, the guys are always the same. They are immune to the rock star bug. I love that about them.
There's a sense of a humbleness.
Yes, man. And it's cool. Like they're one of those cult bands. Because I really appreciate what they do. I have a lot of respect to what they do musically, but more than that, as friends, because we are friends since before. When I was recording Roots.
Wow.
That's when I discovered Deftones because of Dana. They came to play in Phoenix and I learned Engine Number 9 on guitar. And I went up in the stage and played with them in front of 20 people. There was nobody knew the Deftones back. There was like nobody there. And I jammed with them and they were like, "Well, you know, I was like, "Yeah, I know. Give me the guitar." And, you know, and I started jamming. They're like, "Holy shit, he knows the fucking song. This is crazy." You know? And of course the name Soulfly was born on the Head Up song, you know,
that
I did on their record, Around the Fur. And through the years, man, every time we see each other, it's not all the time. That's what's cool. There's gaps of years where we don't see each other. But whenever we do see it in a festival, most of the time it's festivals, we end up doing Head Up, and it's always fun. The crowd goes nuts, and it's always always a blast.
You know, as you're telling me all this, Max, you know, a commonality within my show is, you know, I get a chance to ask my guests these questions, and the thing that really stands out, whether it's with, you know, Soulfly or Go Ahead and Die, Cavalier Conspiracy, Sepultura, you know, one of the things that really brings out the best in you, Max, more than anything, is when you were on stage, like you just discussed. I've seen you do your thing for as long as I've been alive, man, and the way that you have interacted with your crowd throughout your life, I mean, there's this energy that's just seemingly, I feel like it's unmatched. There's a passion in what you do and the way you do it. And you mentioned those two shows, but you performed at some of the biggest festivals, like, you know, Hellfest, Wacken, Brutal Assault, Bloodstock, the list goes on. And, you know, considering that you guys toured Australia, you toured these countries last year, especially when this was something, you know, like I said, 3 years ago, that's what we started off this conversation with, you know, this was something that was stripped away from us, the touring life.
Yeah.
We had no idea. I'm kind of rounding it out to this question. You know, would you say that you have a newfound appreciation of the touring life, the concert life, being in front of the fans, you know? Because I didn't know, you know, if I was going to get a chance to talk to you again after we spoke 3 years ago. Here we are. Of course, I have a new sense of, you know, feeling grateful. I'm going to as many shows as I can now. I went to maybe over 100 shows last year. I've never done that in my life.
for sure.
Especially for someone like you who's been at this for as long as you have.
For sure, man. You know, like it was tough on everybody. Like we did other stuff to survive. I ended up recording a lot because those, you know, you could still make records. Mm-hmm. So I think I did Killer BQ. I did Go Ahead
Great
and Die.
Great record, by the way. That dropped like at the end of 2020. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. So that started before the pandemic, and we kind of came out like right on the, when the shit hit the fan. But when it was actually full pandemic, I got to do Go Ahead and Die, which was great, with my son Igor Amadeus, and that was like a for me, it's a dream come true, making an extreme metal record with your kid, giving zero fucks about who's gonna like or don't like this thing, you know. It's like I have no reservations of like, I don't care. I just want to like do something gnarly with my kid, like, you know, just fucking go for it, like old school, like I'm 17 again without giving one fuck to the world, you know. And it's like just pure caveman energy, you know. And that was fucking awesome. And I think Totem, it was actually also done during the pandemic. So I say most of the time, you know, a productive, creative. I did the Max Trex, which I'm doing it again. You know, yep. I got one Thursday.
That's right.
Got another one. Bringing it back.
I was gonna ask how that's going, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
you're doing it.
It's
again.
Cool. It's cool. It's back, I love by, it. Back by popular demand. No, just kidding. It was fucking. I love doing it, man. It's so punk rock like.
I really feel like when you do the Max Trex, by the way, if anyone hasn't seen Max Trex, please go to YouTube and check it out. It's a thing of beauty because I feel like it shows a different side of you that I feel like fans have never seen before. And you just kind of just, you cut loose, man. You're probably the most chill person. And they're like,
it's so punk rock. The one I did one with Mike, right? To announce Mike joining Soulfly. It's like half an hour before we getting ready to go live. I realize I don't have a microphone, you know. I'm looking at my house. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking at all the drawers. It's like, I know I have a mic, you know. It's like I don't have a microphone, but I know a trick that somebody taught me years ago, that if you put a headphone and the headphone becomes a microphone. Do you know this?
A headphone becomes a, what did you
right
you so want to show me what you did?
Yeah, so this, right? This is a headphone. So this part here, this is a microphone. So if you plug this into a speaker, you can talk on it, and this becomes a microphone.
For people who don't know, use that trick. It works.
If you don't have a microphone and you got to do it, this is how punk rock Max Trex is. So I just grab a headphone from my wall because I collect headphones. So I got about 50 on my wall. So I just grabbed one, put
holy
duct
shit,
tape.
I got like three of these headsets like sitting on the opposite side of my room. I'm gonna try that out. I had no idea. I'm sure we knew like in the back of our head. Yeah, I probably could use it, but yeah, you're probably right on the hit the nail on the head right there. I'm gonna have to check that out. That's
if it fucking works. I'm telling you, it works.
If Max says it works, you know it fucking works.
so I duct tape it, right? And I got the fucking headphone. Using as a mic, and that's how the Max track started with Mike DeLeon, and it was cool. I gave him like I want to pick his brain too. Like I want to know who am I hiring, right?
Yeah.
What kind of guy is this? You know. So I'm asking you all these questions, like your favorite food, your favorite drink, your favorite place, your favorite guitar player. And he drops a bomb. His favorite guitar player is CC The View from Poison. And I almost fucking lost my fucking mind. I was like, what the fuck?
That's probably one of the most interesting answers I've ever heard when it comes to favorite guitar player.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was kind of really unexpected, you know. And it was cool. We play a little bit of Frontlines. We play Superstition. We jam together. The fans loved it, man. They fucking, a lot of people saw it. And it's just fun doing. So I did a lot of that in the pandemic, but yeah, going back to the original question, I missed the shit out of the road, right? Because it was like, this is one thing that we have that's ours, and it's like my whole life is being based on going on the road and perform. My whole life, this is all I know since I was 17 years old, 16. I started touring very internationally and everything probably when I was 18. I think like the Beneath the Remains tour.
Yeah.
I was probably around 18. That's a long time. I'm 53, you know, I'm 53. So it's many years. So when the pandemic hit and we don't have that anymore, it was a mind fuck, man. It's like, and it was all this uncertainty. Like,
there were all these cancellations.
Are we ever gonna play live?
Postpone.
Yeah. Like, are we ever gonna play live again? I saw people doing the driving theater thing, and
hey,
It was
I did that. So check this out, Max. So here's the thing. I've seen you countless amounts of times. You're one of my favorite performers to see live. One band I've never seen live, believe it or not, I've seen Gojira. I've seen Deftones, Megadeth. I have never seen Metallica. And if you remember, Metallica did this live streaming event that August, I believe. And they did, just for one weekend, they did it in every major city. They live stream a live show event. And here in Dallas, I went. A friend of mine had an extra ticket. I haven't told this story in a while, so this is actually pretty fun telling you this. So we decided to go. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll see what I'll do. I've never been to a live streaming event before. I mean, you can just, you know, mosh in your own room, right? Why would you want to go out and see a live streaming event? Anyway, we went. It was at a drive-in theater. And it was like, it was crazy. You know, what's the thing we hear at a metal show? Let me see those horns. And you see everybody just, it's like you get that adrenaline rush, right? You see everyone, the sea of horns. Instead, what do we get? James Hetfield goes, hey, let me hear you guys honk your horns. So if you roll your window down, you just hear cars honking their horns like in silence. It was so awkward, but it was interesting to see at the same time because it was just silence. But it was a great turnout, you know. It was nice for that weekend.
Yeah, yeah. People did different things, and we end up we recorded a go ahead and show that we were going to stream it.
Yeah,
we end up not streaming. I don't know why. I don't know what happened to. I think that it wasn't mixed properly, and we kind of like put it on the back burner. I think we're still going to put it out because it's badass. It's like we played the whole record live in a studio.
Oh, that's all right. That already sounds badass, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I wish it was streamed live. It would have been great. It would have been great, man. It was so cool. But yeah, I mean, like we did other things. But yeah, I mean, I had my first two birthdays at home in 30 years. I was like, well, this is
how
weird.
Was that? Did you celebrate? Did you get a cake? Did you guys do like a barbecue? We do barbecues here in Texas, by the way. So
yeah. We're very family vibe here at home. So we have like a shitload of grandkids, and all my kids come. And what we do is, you know, we had a little cake, and then we go play football and soccer in the backyard. You know,
I saw that video of you playing football with your kids the other day on Instagram. That's really
right,
cool.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you watched the World Cup this year, because this was one of the first years that I like to watch the World Cup when I can, but I really paid attention this year. I don't know if you watched it.
But yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But we don't talk about that. Fuck Argentina.
Should I ask him about that?
We're mortal enemies, bro.
We were all going for Brazil, and we were just like, what the hell? And
I'm so tired of people coming, oh, but Messi deserves that. Fuck Messi and fuck Argentina. Sorry if there's Argentina people watching this shit, but I have to fucking come when it comes to soccer. It's like there's no excuses.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Brazil. Yeah, I was so pissed,
hey,
man.
I was really glad when Brazil got the gold in the Olympics. I think that was in Rio, not too long ago, 2016, I believe, when Neymar hit that penalty kick.
Listen,
that was beautiful.
I'm going to start a campaign. Brazil needs to go back to the thug soccer that we play when Pelé comes from the favelas. He's a thug, man. He's a full-on thug, and we lost that. The shit got too – there's too much money on it, and all these guys are making way too much money. They don't give a shit. We need to go back to that dog mentality that Brazil had it, you know, because we were the fucking shit. You know, when you watch the 94 World Cup, when you watch the 70 World Cup with Pelé, which, by the way, just died not too long ago.
Rest in peace to that legend.
Yeah, rest in power. I got to meet him in the 90s in New
That's
York.
That's so awesome.
It was great. But yeah, I feel... This is just my feeling, but I feel that I think there's too much money now in it, and Brazil needs to go back to the dog mentality days. Then we'll be okay if we do that. If we, because I know a lot of those guys, they do come from the favela, ghettos, the bad areas.
Yeah.
And they just got to remember that. They got to remember when they didn't have any, you know, not even money to buy a soccer ball, you know, and because that's what Pelé named. Do you know Pelé? The name Pelé means ball made out of socks.
So I did not know that.
Yeah, they did not have money to buy a soccer ball. That's how fucking poor they were. So they all collect socks from all the kids in the neighborhood, and they make probably with duct tape, they make a soccer ball out of sock. And then the nickname of that was Pelé, and then so becomes his nickname. So he's literally nicknamed from the thing that they play. That's his nickname, you know, because his real name is Edson Arantes do Nascimento.
Yes, and it's really thank you for telling me that, and it really shows a significance.
It has nothing to do with metal, but I'm teaching.
It's important, man. It's important. You're Brazilian. This is important. Even the thing about Pelé, he transcended past sports. I mean, even Megadeth posted about Pelé's death, you know?
It
transcends sports, cool. You know? And it really shows how an individual represents himself, how he goes about his business, what he did for his country, you know? The way he influenced other people. And you're right, Max. Not even just football, man. Even American football is the same way. Basketball, like people, it's all about the, you know, It's just, I feel like it's been taken over. And of course, you know, and I know you're a big Detroit Lions fan. I was rooting for the Lions this year. Here's the deal. I'm a Giants fan. So
my grandkids are Giants. I'm pulling for the Giants.
Right, man, I hope so. So I go to, I'll tell you this. I go to two Giants games every year. So this year, I went to the Tennessee game when we beat the Titans in Nashville. That was really cool. And that, since I live in Dallas, of course, when the Giants
first game,
that was crazy. I was so pissed off at halftime. We were down 13-0, and it was just, I was ready to go. And I spent all this money traveling to Nashville. We sit there, we're down 13-0. Bam, we come back and win that game. That was one of the greatest memories ever. Anyway, and then of course, when they came here to Dallas and Thanksgiving, who knows? They could come back to Dallas for the NFC Championship game the following week if the Giants win and the Cowboys. I don't like the Cowboys, but you know, we'll see.
The Lions are tough. We play tough.
You guys should have made the playoffs. You guys deserved it more than like half the teams. I mean, the way you guys
beat Green Bay, more than Tampa Bay for sure.
More than Tampa Bay. I also think even more than Seattle, even. You know, you guys would have given those teams, you guys gave us a hard time. We lost to y'all.
Yeah, fuck yeah. We play tough. We got dog mentality in Detroit.
And for people who don't know, Max is an avid Detroit Lions fan. I thought it was very interesting. I read the story about you becoming Detroit Lions fan because you went to a game in Arizona, I believe. And I don't know who they were playing. I don't know if they were playing the Lions, but you were trying to figure out who is your team, right, Max? It wasn't the Cardinals, but you do have a soft spot for the Arizona teams. But I think it's really interesting. You did a tour at Ford Field. Do you have a Detroit Lions? Do you have a Detroit Lions tattoo? That's what you need now.
No, not yet. I'll try to get that and try to get a Detroit Lions guitar. That's where I'm.
There we go. Now we're talking, man.
But no, like I think it was maybe like 10 years ago, and everybody here is a Cardinals fan, and I want to have my own team, right? Like, you know,
you're a rebel like me.
Yeah,
I'm a Giants fan living in Dallas.
I can't roll. Who does that? I can't roll with the city. I got to roll different from the city. So it was like, you know, I'm looking at the teams. I'm looking at, you know, the whole landscape, and I'm a Leo, you know, my sign is a Leo, is a lion. And I'm like, the Lions, let's go. That's it. That's my, by the way, I had no idea. I didn't even know who Barry Sanders was. I got to look all that up.
Man.
I learned later all these great names, you know, Megatron and all that. But we did a tour of Ford Field, and that was there was a fan that works with the Lions, and we had a day off in Detroit, and he got me he got us a tour of the stadium. We went everywhere. We went to the dressing room. We got to touch, you know, Matt Stafford's locker. You know, got to touch.
That is so sick.
We went to the field. That was pretty sweet, man. That was cool. We got to see the whole stadium. Got to do a whole tour of it. I was hoping that one of them would be a metalhead, man. You know, like So, because I heard some players are metalheads.
You know, I think the head coach now, Dan Campbell, a great guy, by the way. I am certain he listens to heavy metal. You can just see it in him.
He looks like.
And here's the thing: we're gonna publish this on all major podcast streams. I'm gonna make sure they know that, you know.
Awesome.
that's how it's gonna be. The Detroit Lions need to be aware of this because
we met one guy, Kyle Turley. You should play for the Rams.
Yes.
When the Rams, so when was St. Louis Rams, and they won the 2000, I think it was 2000.
Yes. Super Bowl. Yeah. I remember that.
So the week that they won the Super Bowl, he came to see Soulfly, and it was him and two other guys from the team. Big motherfuckers, man, you know? They show up with the fucking Super Bowl jackets, the fucking rings, you know? Fucking, yeah, it was awesome, man. It was like, wow, that's impressive, you know, and he's a big Soulfly fan, and it was cool just shooting the shit with him. Also, Randy Johnson, you know, the baseball player. I don't know.
Holy shit. Yeah, baseball, yeah. He's a legendary pitcher, actually.
Yeah, he's a huge Sepultura fan. Like he knows the shit.
That's news to me. I had no idea. That's awesome.
One time when we were playing, he came to the show and he's looking at the set list and he's going, "Oh, holy shit, you guys are gonna play Troops of Doom? Fuck yeah!" And I was like, "Oh,
what the
time out? What the? How you know Troops of Doom, man? Oh, I loved Morbid Visions. Are you kidding me? That's one of the rawest records you guys ever done." Blah blah blah. And it's like, man, that's fucking cool. You know, that's unexpected. But yeah, I love when sports and metal mix. That was kind of one of the things. We actually were trying. We try to do that a lot. I do most of that in Europe. I wear a lot of soccer shirts.
Yep, I do see that. You know what's really cool? So I don't know if you watch hockey, but hockey is starting to become a prominent thing down here in Texas. Of course, the Dallas Stars. I'm an avid Stars fan. Of course, when I go to the games, the soundtrack. I kid you not, Soulfly, Gojira, Deftones, Megadeth.
Oh, really?
They play heavy metal in the arena. I remember when the Stars made the playoffs last year, the introduction. Did you know the Dallas Stars theme song is Pantera?
Pantera doesn't surprise me.
Dime and Vinny wrote, by the way, shout out to those guys, because I've loved those guys. Of course, they're prominent down here in Dallas. Those guys, specifically, for people that don't know, they wrote a song for the Dallas Stars.
Wow.
And when the Dallas Stars score a goal, they play the song that Pantera. Nice. It's a heavy metal song. After every goal, they play that song.
That's cool.
And there's a huge. We're gonna get to our next topic, but that when there's a huge star that comes down on the ice before the game starts, and the song "Domination" from Pantera plays solo when Dime plays that solo. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm telling you this. It's insane. It's complete darkness. The green star goes and that was insane. Like, and people are like, "This song is heavy." I'm like, "This is fucking Pantera." I mean, this and Pantera's avid within Dallas Stars. Anyway, now listen, you know.
I'm a hockey player, what do I want to hear right before I go hit some motherfuckers? And
hell yeah, yeah, that's the point.
You know, I want to hear some Slayer. I want to hear some Refuse and Resist.
Yeah,
you know,
they played Raining Blood. They played Raining Blood too. Yeah,
yeah. I want to hear some Jump the Fuck Up. Give me all that, you know. So, hell yeah, man. That's cool. I'm not that too much. I don't know much about hockey. Like, I know a little bit. My crew guy, my guitar crew, loves the Kings. He's a huge LA Kings fan.
Yeah, I've been to a Kings game out in Los Angeles. It is amazing. That's you just have to go to a hockey game, Max. You have to experience it, dude. Because I mean, not even just in Dallas, but heavy metal is prominent in hockey more than any other sport. I'm telling you this for as long as I've been a fan. Heavy metal is prominent in there. So, and you'll see it. Detroit Red Wings. I hate the Red Wings, but if you're a fan, it's okay. I'm nothing against you, because Red Wings are our rivals. So Detroit Red Wings are prominent in the.
That's the beautiful thing about me. I don't have a hockey team right now. I get to pick one.
You get to pick one.
So yeah, I'm gonna do my research. I'm gonna check in on the Dallas Stars. I'm gonna check in.
I'm gonna send the song. You just search Dallas Stars goal horn on YouTube, and it's the song Diamond Vinny created. But Max, real quick, we talked about everything except the tour because it's so exciting. I know there's a lot of exciting things to unravel about what you have going on, of course, in Soulfly coming up for this year, right?
This is like two dudes in a bar, man. You're just missing the drinks,
bro. We're missing the wings.
The wings and the drinks.
What I'm saying, that's what we're missing.
Yeah,
and, you know, touring is one of them, which is one of the greatest things to see happening again. This 57 date trek that's coming up, holy shit! Starts January 25th, if I'm not mistaken, all the way to April 1st. You got Body Box, you got Hartford Voices, Skinflint, Drift throughout these select dates on this tour.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Max. I ask a lot of questions to my guests about, you know, the chemistry between members of the same band, because I find those stories kind of really interesting, you know. But in this case, I want to talk about the chemistry between these different bands you have on this tour, because there's a mix of some great underground bands that people may not even have heard of, because I know you, out of all people, are one of the biggest advocate for underground music. You know, I remember when we did the interview last time in three years ago, you were wearing a Necrot shirt, and not many people have heard of Necrot. And lo and behold, I wanted to get Necrot on my show later that year. And that it was great. I had those guys on the show. They were some of the great, great people. But the question I want to ask is, do you think it takes chemistry to make tours like these work? The fact that you're also helping these bands grow while bringing them on tour with you, because people know Soulfly, they know your face, you know, they know Zion, but maybe they've never heard of these bands, you know. It's really cool to see that.
I mean, that's one of the things that we do that I think is great. You know, we, of course, the booking agent asks us, you know, what do we want to do. And I think he even mentioned, you guys want to just don't take anybody, just do your own thing. And that's the first thing I go is like, nope, no. Stop right there, bro. Stop.
I wouldn't mind.
We're not doing that. All right. Let me explain to you the why we don't do that. Because when I was a shithead 15-year-old, people gave me breaks, man. Fucking Venom came to Brazil and put Sepultura to open the show. Nuclear Assault went to Brazil and we opened for them. Napalm Death went to Brazil and we opened for them. That was just the Brazilian shows. And then when we start touring, Pantera took us on tour. Ministry took us on tour. Ozzy took us on tour. With Soulfly, Slayer took us on tour. Rammstein took Soulfly on tour.
Goodness gracious.
You know, Morbid Angel, we did Soulfly. Pantera took us twice. It took Sepultura. Then a couple years later, it took Soulfly and Morbid Angel. And that's why I'm always so tight with Dimebag and Vinny and all those guys. But that's the thing, like, it's cool to give somebody that opportunity. Like you say, like I'm a well-established act already, you know, so people know, they know what they're going to get. They, you know, they know my music, they know my catalog and all that. But a lot of them maybe never heard of Body Box, or last year, 200 Stab Wounds was one of the bands we took on tour.
They just signed with Metal Blade. Shout out to those guys. I fucking love 200 Stab Wounds.
When we took them, nobody knew, 200 Stab Wounds. Was like, I remember friends of mine coming to the tour and they were like, holy shit, man, I just saw your opening band, they're fucking badass. And I was like, yeah, they are, right? They're awesome, right? And I knew from watching them, it's like, this kid's gonna be all right. They're gonna be, you know, they're gonna do good stuff, you know. And that's why we kind of do this, you know, together with a booking agent. We pick those bands, and some of them it's not the first time. Skinflint is from South Africa, and they're awesome guys. They're really, really cool guys.
I listen to all those bands, dude. I cannot wait for people to see these guys.
Body Box to me is like very, very, very similar to 200 Stab Wounds, as far as like that punchy, fucking, you know, grind death metal grind type shit.
I don't do mosh pits anymore, Max, but those bands make me want to go back in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So that's why we do that.
I'm getting too old for that.
Of course, if we had the chance in the future to make a bigger package, of course we will do that, you know, and I think there is the hopefully we will get to do that with other more established bands. That would be cool to do stuff like we did with you know, Soulfly went on tour with Nile, we went on tour with Cattle Decapitation, you know. So you know, it would be cool to do a tour with Fear Factory. It would be cool to do a tour with Obituary. It would be cool to do a tour with Hatebreed, whatever. You know, all those are the little bigger bands, make a package. That's not happening right now, and we can't sit and wait. So we do our own thing in the meantime, yeah. You know, and this is the tour. It's a crazy fucking tour. It's 57 dates. It's 9 weeks. Nobody does that anymore. It's like we are the most insane bunch of lunatics on the planet to be on the road for that long, man. That's insanity. I'm leaving next week. I don't come back to April. That's fucking insane. But it's cool. I love it. I'm a road dog, you know. I just, you know, like some of my best memories are on the road, from the road. Rather be hanging out with watching Pantera, watching Ozzy every night, or you know, watching Slayer, hanging out with the guys.
By the time you get back, Max, you're gonna be on the road this year more than you've been home. I feel like home for you is on the road, man. I don't even know if that, you know, yeah. you know what I'm saying?
I was thinking about buying one of those beds that you put a coin and the whole bed shakes. So it feels like the bus, you know.
You need to do that.
So when I come home, I still think I'm on tour. My brain still thinks that I'm on tour.
That's a great. I didn't even think about that. That's a great way to describe that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, some of my best memories are on the road from crazy drunk things. Like I remember. Fucking!
I love those tour stories. Here we go.
Playing with Ozzy, right? And Alice in Chains. Lane, the singer, used to come to our bus. He fucking loved our bus.
God damn, Lane Staley.
Because we were a bunch of renegades, and we blessed like the most ungodly death metal you could hear was always blasting in our speakers. You know, Terrorizer and fucking, you know. Brutal Truth, and he loved that, man. He thought he thought that was the coolest thing. He's like, I'm gonna go hang out with Sepultura in their bus because they're fucking crazy. They listen to the crazy music, and he would show up without eyebrows. He used to shave his eyebrows.
Lane?
Yeah. He shaved no eyebrows, bro. It was crazy. And he had an acoustic guitar with him, and he would do all these made up songs for hours. We'd just be drinking, and. I wish we had filmed. We should have filmed that shit, man. We'd make a great home video. So all those tour stories, those are great. Like when we go on tour, you bond with the other bands and cool shit like that happens. That's one of the things I like to do. That's what I like to get with the other bands and play cover songs, you know.
And you're talking about Mike DeLeon, right? Hey, this is a good way to get to know him. 57 days.
Oh yeah. So. Oh yeah. No. That's why I had to do him I had to task him, like, I make sure this guy's right. You know, make sure this is the right, you know, the right cabron for the game.
And for people who don't know Mike DeLeon, he's known for his work with, of course, Philip Anselmo and the Illegals, Flesh Hoarder, Disfigured, Mike's I did a lot of work on Mike before you and me sat down.
Texas guy.
Yeah, he's from Texas too. You know, you got him on guitar. I feel like there's like a new element that Mike brings into Soulfly that you may not have had in the lineup before he joined. You know?
Yeah, I mean Mike's awesome, as a person, and I think the vibe he brings out to school is like, yeah, it's got this whole. crazy swagger, like ready. I don't even know how to explain, but just looks cool with a fucking bandido mustache. Look, he looks like one of the, like, could come from a Western movie, you know, or like a
man. You yeah. guys, when you guys up are on stage in trees, I don't know if this is even possible. I don't know if Glory can fix you guys up. Get like hats, get some cowboy hats, and get up on stage on trees, man. Yeah, that would
there you go.
That
there
would be go. A thing of beauty. I mean, you both, Mics and Zion yeah. back there with his hat. You'll see him. Yeah. Zion's he's like the same height as my older brother. He's like tall and skinny with the cowboy hat. Put him back there with the drum kit. He'll fit right in. And
that's a good idea.
I'm just saying, and it's really cool because. I think Dallas is like the fifth day on the tour. I always think about like what it'll be like on like the 57th day. Like you guys come back around, and what's the longest tour you've been on? 57 days is, of course, that's like almost 2 months. But can you even answer that question? Like, what would be the longest tour you've been on, Max? Does it ever reach 100 days? Can you even go on like a 100-day tour? I'm sure bands have done that, right?
Some bands probably have. I haven't.
That's
I mean, I've done like
3.5 months. Jesus.
Yeah, I done back in the Arise days, those some tours of similar to this one we're doing right now.
That's awesome.
But I don't think we ever reached 9 weeks. I think this is probably the longest I ever done.
Wow.
There was some that we went to Europe 3 times in the same year. You know, so if you put all the three together, then it's probably
it'll last over
probably like 100 shows. Probably like 100 shows. So it was probably like, you know, maybe like 45 first time, 45 second yeah. time, 30 the third time. But that was all in 1 year. We did that 1 year. No, I love it, man. I think it's great. I think it's kind of like that the mentality, what is it? Iron sharp as iron, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
so
yeah. That's the, we, I was like, gonna, I was thinking about that, something like that. Yeah.
We're gonna get tighter. We're gonna get tighter as the tour goes, and we're gonna add some stuff. I already had some other tracks in mind to add. And the thing I was saying about opening bands and what I like to do also is get together with them. And do just to fuck around in the end of the set. You just do cover songs, you know.
That's awesome. You should do that. It really should. I also think that really shows a lot of authenticity within the musician. Just cut loose and just hang out.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know they're gonna get the show right. They're gonna get the Soulfly show. So that's like a bonus. You know, they get to see something extra. They get to see a little bonus thing that involves everybody that it's around the tour. We did it with 200 Stab Wounds. We end up doing Hatebreed and Cannibal Corpse. You know, it was cool. And it was awesome. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. And then I think we did one with Toxic Holocaust. We did Evil Dead from Death.
Yeah,
from the first record, and I think when I did the Return to Roots, we did Black Metal from Venom with Full of Hell and Immolation, and that was
another great up and coming band, man. That's that's really cool that you're doing all that, Max. We don't have much time left. I don't want to keep you for too long, bro. But man, I'll be there on February 1st, dude. It'll be great to
Bring the cowboy hats and we get to use it.
If you're hanging out after the show or before, let me know. I'll be there. It'll be just be great to see you again. You know, just in person. It's
awesome,
like,
man.
And we'll talk about, you know, of course, from the pandemic started to where we are now. It's really cool. And now, real quick, I got a little surprise for you at the end. I'm gonna tell you what it is, but. Before we finish things off here, I know we've covered a good amount of ground on this awesome conversation, of course, and always great to have you back on here. The discussions we've had, you know, have always been such a good time, you know, and I can't help but ask, Max, you know, you've been at this for as long as you have. what is the most, you know, think about this. What is the most rewarding part for someone like you who is now at this point in their career? Another way to see it, you know, at the same time, you've been involved with many other different aforementioned talented people, artists, bands throughout your timeline that we have discussed. You know, your relationship with your bandmates, your family, your fans. What is it, 4 decades and counting, culminating countless records. You know, I'm always excited to see, you know, where you go from one point in your life to the next. You know, again, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, Max, you know, buying those Sepultura records when I first started getting into heavy metal. You know, here we are, you know, like a new chapter with you, Soulfly, the new album, the new year, as a musician, as a frontman, or hell, as a human being. Do you ever just stop for a moment to take a look back at how far you've come?
Not really. I mean, I do that a little bit when I have to get ready to get prepared for some tours. Like, you know, we did Beneath the Remains and Arise. I had to go back and revisit those records and remember the riffs. It's kind of like riding a bicycle, actually. The riffs just come back to you, you know.
It's muscle memory.
Like, yeah, and it was funny because I was actually watching, for curiosity, I went on YouTube and I put a song, I think it was Primitive Future, and I want to see how somebody was playing Primitive Future on YouTube. And they were playing it wrong, and it was funny. I was watching the videos like, no, that's not right, you know. I'm doing right. I wrote this shit. I know how this goes. I know how it goes, because like I said, it's like riding a bicycle, right? So when I have to do that, I go back and listen to my own stuff, like Soulfly tours. I listen to a lot of the records, find the right songs. As far as like the life in general, the lifestyle in general, I don't really look back that much. I'm always for present, future, mm-hmm. and the thing about metal, right? That's the coolest thing to me is that it's like mafia. Once you get in, you can't get out. We are in this shit for life.
Man, I wish we had a beer so we can cheers to that, man. That's what we need. We need a drink. Yeah. I'm buying you a beer when you get here.
Metal, I've got to put that on a shirt. Metal is like mafia. Once you're in, you can't get out.
Oh, okay. Make sure you copyright that. Trademark that. That is perfect.
Yeah. So it's like that, you know. So that's why, you know, 4 decades later, I still meet fans that grew up with my music in the 80s, like you, you know. And I meet young kids that were not born when those records came out, but they still love them the same. You know, they love them, and they love the new Soulfly and Killer BQ and Go Ahead and Die. I like to stay busy. I think that I'm one of those guys. You rest when you're dead. That's when you rest. While you're here, let's do some shit. Because to me, it's like, it's not even work, man, you know? It's fun. You know, I love playing music. It comes from the heart. Totally like a passion about what I do. It's in the fabric, it's in the blood, you know? So it's like, when I'm on the stage, it's like, there's no other place I'd rather be than right there, right now. You know, it's like the moment, you know? And that, by the way, doesn't matter where. It could be 100 people. I'm having a fucking ball. Like, people might think, well, you know, you're an established artist. You know, people call you a legend. You know, what are you doing playing in front of 100 people? Well, you just don't know me if you think that. Because to me, there's something really, really primal about the intimacy of those shows, those 150 people that are connected entirely by the sounds and the songs. It's like, you know, I call those shows the punk rock shows, where motherfuckers gonna be falling on my pedals, they're gonna spill beer on my head, I'm gonna be singing, speeding, and the front guy is getting all the speed in his face, but he doesn't care. He's like wiping and screaming with me, you know. It's fucking, it's the best. It's the best. And as much as I love the big festivals and the big shows, I don't know. Sometimes I think the punk shows are where I really enjoy myself the most. It's where I really have the most fun. It's like those small fucking shows are so fun. They're so cool. It's like,
it feels more personal too.
It's a unique experience. You know, it's like you and your crowd are one. It's one tribe right there. It's like the tribe is united right there. It's so cool. And it's like, it's
you're
our
playing
feet,
at Trees.
You know?
You're playing at Trees, by the way, which is the perfect venue for that. I don't, you've been to Trees, right?
Here in Dallas?
It's perfect.
Great.
So
it's
you
great.
Know that's like I was thinking about what venue do we? Oh, Trees. He's going to be here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. That you know, that's perfect. I mean, I joke with people. I call Texas the Germany of metal, the Germany of America. You know. Because Germany is so metal and Texas is so metal. Like once we enter Texas, you know, the shows are going to be off the hook. You don't even have to worry. You don't have to worry. Sometimes,
you are correct, sir.
sometimes you can be in Montana, might be a Monday night in Montana. It might not be popping, you know, you might have a smaller crowd. But not when you're in Texas, man. When you're in Texas, it's gonna be fucking, it's gonna be full, packed, exciting, and we're gonna have a great time.
I don't know if you intentionally picked or who, the booking agent picked this specific date. You're gonna be in Texas on a Wednesday, so it's, you know, it's gonna be popping on a Wednesday night
the middle of the week
in Texas.
Yeah, it's perfect, man. It's perfect.
And I can't wait to have you on here. And thank you so much for sharing all that, Max. I like to ask that question because, you know, when I sat with you, you know, I didn't know what to expect. And then sitting with you, getting a chance to know you, getting to meet Zion and Gloria, it was just, there was that sense of humbleness. You're doing what you do because you have a passion for it. That's an inspiration that I can take, even others can take from it to do what they want to do, you know? So I just want to thank you for everything you've done. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're fucking great at it. I mean, you're like I said, it's something that I can take. It's something I can learn. But you're just a fucking amazing dude to talk to. I mean, we're just missing the beers and the wings, which we'll take care of in a couple of weeks. In Trees,
right.
It's gonna be fucking awesome. Get the cowboy hats out, and I'll keep in touch with your publicist and see if we can make that work. But bro, man, thank you so much. Just from the bottom of my heart for doing this with me. I can't wait to have you again, man. We need to have our own podcast, Max, because we could talk forever.
All right. Yeah.
But
all right, man. Hey, I appreciate all the support, brother. And I'll see you in Texas, my man.
Everyone is listening. This is Max Cavalera of Soulfly. Totems right out right now worldwide on Nuclear Blast Records. Do me and Max a favor, buy the record. You know, really, it means a lot, you know, because it's a great fucking record. I mean, it's Soulfly, Totem. You guys really one-upped yourselves. I mean, I thought the last album was absolutely, Ritual was amazing. I don't know how you guys were gonna top it. And you topped it with Totem. Anyway, it's out. So people, please buy it.
Yeah.
You can listen to this podcast on all major podcast streams out there. Check us out on interviewunderfire.com. Max, much love, brother.
You too,
take
brother.
Care. Have a great tour. I'll see you in a couple weeks, man. And
go Lions. Go Lions. Go Giants. Go Giants.
Hell yeah, go Giants. All right. Much love, brother.
Take care, man.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Interview Under Fire Podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please subscribe and share our channel. And please leave a 5-star review as that helps us tremendously. If you'd like to check out more, visit www.interviewunderfire.com or our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, we want to thank you all for the support you've been giving us. Keep it burning.